Two Guys, One Reel Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Two Guys, One Reel Podcast with your host, Kev and Anthony. Kev, here we are today to do our review of Killer of Killers.
Yes, finally. Awaited. Excited. This is what I'm... This is my jam. This is my jam.
And obviously, folks, this is our first foray into, a video review.
Yes.
And if you've been joining us with our audio reviews, you know that this is a big step for us. And with the ingenuity of Kev, you know, finding a good platform to use, and me not being able to find my webcam, telling Kev, oh, I have to get one. And then I found it by looking somewhere I hadn't looked, and bingo, here we are. And Kev, I'm excited.
Oh.
And yeah, this is right. This is amazing.
This is great. I mean, this feels amazing. Looks amazing. I'm really pumped, excited for this. And let's hopefully this works out and we stick to this format. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, totally. Oh. And folks, if you're just joining us, obviously for the first time, this brainchild of a podcast came from us just having conversations when we would see each other. Hey, did you see that? You know, and the fact that it's become what it is now is amazing.
Yes.
And I'm so excited. And yeah,
I think it's it's just growing. It's growing steadily, and I'm very excited for the future and for how far we've come so far. So far, it's so much already, and it's in such a small bit of time. And it's great. Yeah. It's not overwhelming, and it's fantastic. That's what I love about this. So,
Integrating
the video is, I think, amazing for us. So
a big step, I feel.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, Anthony, let's get into Killer of Killers.
Yes.
All right. So,
Killer of Killers is part of the Predator universe. Mm-hmm. And Kev, do you want to start us off?
Sure. So I'll just be, this is just a slight overview. So it is a Viking raider, a ninja in feudal Japan, and a World War II pilot encounter a fierce intergalactic hunter.
This was directed by Dan Trachtenberg and Joshua Wasson. And it stars Michael Biehn, Rick Gonzalez, Lindsay Levanchi, Louis Ozawa, Damien Hass, and Britton Watkins.
Mm, pretty decent cast, especially Michael Biehn. You know,
yeah, pretty excited.
I'm very excited because you know he's in Aliens, so he's an alien. He's in Aliens and Alien in Alien 3, until he did him dirty. But
that's
anyway,
a nice callback.
Yep. Until he did my man Michael Biehn dirty in Alien 3.
Yeah.
But we won't get into that right now. But
later. We'll get into that later.
It's going to happen. But with Killer of Killers, this is spread over sort of three stories and with a coming in.
And three times.
Yes. And then coming in together at the end. So,
Which took me by surprise.
Oh, yes. Well, I wasn't thinking that. I didn't think it was going to be, several stories at once, and especially as we go through different timelines. So,
I love the animation of it. Kicking off
the
art shield,
the art style, and everything was great. So, with story one, it is called The Shield. So, this takes place on Earth in 84 AD. I don't know what AD stands for, Anthony. Do you know what that is?
AD, so that would be after Christ after death of Jesus, I guess.
Oh, that's what I assume. But
after creation of,
But
I mean, there's BC,
yes,
and then there's AD. So that's me. During the what I would perceive as the time of the Vikings, obviously the Ice Age and that. And that's, is it 841 AD?
Okay.
Yeah.
And, all right, so the overview of The Shield So we got Ursa is the leader of a clan of Viking warriors, and she leads a clan in, to hunt for a dangerous warlord. One of her most loyal lieutenants is her son, Anders, and she seeks revenge for her father's fate. Ursa is a very big mother figure in this.
Yeah, very aggressive and like, but very strong, very, very powerful. And like, obviously, this is where we meet the first of the Predators.
Yes.
And so this was like really surprising to me. Like, again, from the outset, you don't realize that going into this, that it's a Predator, you know, it's pursuing them. You know, and then like it leads into the story, and I think it just grabs you.
Yeah.
You know, you get invested very quickly.
Oh, yes. The start off of the segment was great. It goes into the good story about how the clan work together and how dedicated they are to find this person so she can get her revenge. It shows it's just very good how they do that. And then, what did you think of the whole action sequence of this first story?
Oh, it was crazy. I thought like the action was really like at a really fast pace, but it's just like this Predator was just he was relentless.
Not mucking around.
No.
Not mucking around.
And neither did she.
No.
She didn't muck around either, you know. But as you mentioned, the clan, they're very together. And you see their ways of how they've hunted and how attuned they are to their environment and their senses. Yes. And she doesn't back down.
No.
No.
No, 100% agree with you on that. Does not back down. And when you get to the what I love about this sequence as well is the animation, as you pointed out, but the gore in this is fantastic. Like,
I was not
expecting it to be this full on. I knew it was rated R, which I was like, that's good. But then when it pumped up with the gore, I was like, whoa. I was like, wow. So this one hits, it's all the hits are hitting hard, and just the gore is just good. Violent. It's what you want. Is what we want.
Yeah, it's ultra violent, and obviously in the world of Predator and Alien, you go away, I'll let you go. No. This is death. This is violence. This is unforgiving.
It's fantastic. But with the Predator, I thought the Predator was well done. Out of all these stories, I did think this Predator was a little bit lacking, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, he was the first of three.
Yeah.
But then, like, when you realize that this may have been like a young Predator, like an emerging, like, you know, like, because as we learn, there's different Predators, and they might have been at a different stage in their either mission or, you know, just how old they are in their clan or, you know, in from where they are from. But obviously, like an inexperienced kind of.
I think all the Predators in this are, I think these are their tests. So,
yeah.
If they can take down this one killer who happens to be, in this story, the killer singles out Ursa as the ultimate killer.
Yeah.
So their goal is to kill that one to maybe then be promoted or, I'm not sure, or is the coming of age thing. So yes,
that's
all right. Yeah. But with that, with the shield as well, it's just it's hands down pretty good start to this movie. It was very good.
Yeah. And then we moved in. Sorry.
No, go.
Then we moved into the sword, which introduced us into Japan during the times of the samurai in 1609. And so again, it's it completely spins it on an axis, because again, you've gone from Vikings,
yep,
and then you're suddenly in Japan. And that's obviously with time, different time zones in this film. It takes you by surprise. Mm. And again, like, you don't expect it.
No, and you don't expect. And I was thinking, where are they going to go with this? I'm like, this is going to be okay. Yeah. But as we'll get into it more, you'll understand. But did you want me to talk about the story too?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
So the overview of the story too is it's about two brothers, Kenji and Kiyosho. They're brothers, mm-hmm. and they're sons of the merciless lord mm-hmm. in feudal Japan. Their bond is severed when their father makes them fight each other. Years later, the two come to blows in a light of tragedy, only to have their fateful confrontation interrupted by the arrival of a predator. So, well, all right, Anthony, with this segment, story to the sword. Again, very strong. I think this one is the strongest of all the stories. This one is the best.
Especially, I would have to agree with you. I mean, obviously, this predator was relentless. Oh. But you saw the contrast between the two boys and how they grew up to be different kind of men. Mm. You know, where one was, you know, like kind of like cast aside. And there's a great divide between them because of their father.
Yes.
And then, obviously, when their father dies, and they're basically brought back together because of the tragedy of that loss.
Yeah.
But they both have it in for each other.
Yeah, but was it... But didn't then, one of the brothers snuck back in, though?
Yes. But, like...
That was afterwards.
A relentless.
That was
afterwards. Yeah. That's right. It's like an ongoing feud between them, marked by how their father caused that divide.
Yes,
and so they hate each other. But the measured one, like the quiet one, he's been away from it all. Like he's kind of been like completely separated from the brother that stayed in the temple. And so, like, when this predator is introduced, well, these two brothers end up having to join forces in what I felt was very reluctantly, because they still have it in for each other. But, like, they recognize the loss of their father, but they also realize that to survive, they have to fight.
Oh, yes. And that's what I loved about this segment with the sword was also the introduction of the predator and the fight style of the predator. So the predator this time decided to use stealth a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So he was mostly invisible, but his kills were so good. I loved it.
Intense.
Loved it. Like I loved his.
Yeah.
And I loved how each predator has a different mission, different armory. It's not the same.
Yeah.
And I love that.
That's right.
So we got this one.
An experience.
So in the shield, the predator's weapon was like a energy sort of blunt object weapon that radiated energy that just blew things apart. In the sword, the predator has a staff. Or staff slash whatever, has like a sharp end on the point. But when it splits people in half, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I love.
Oh, it's crazy.
This is fantastic.
And like, obviously, being in feudal Japan in the days of the samurai, these samurai were warriors.
Mm.
And so, like, they kind of, you know, once they knew what they were up against, well, you know, it was, again, violent. I mean, you know, the animation, I can't compliment it enough. How they did it.
It was good. It shows really good detail. Everything was good. Yes, I understand some people didn't like the style because at times it did look a little bit jittery. A tiny bit jittery. A tiny bit. Not much.
Jumpy.
Yes, a little bit. But it wasn't too much to get it to make you annoyed. I wasn't annoyed with it. I thought it was fantastic.
It's more to the intensity of like, this is like life and death. Mm. And, you know, obviously, when you see the brothers know what they're coming up against, and you know, the Predator, again, relentless.
Mm.
And you can see clearly his mission was to get rid of him.
Yep.
And I love the touch of the samurai armor.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yes.
And how you just mentioned that each Predator has their own armor style. Mm.
And their own unique fight style, too. Like, yes. This one was more, you know, finesse. This is all about the finesse and that, whereas the shield was more blunt force. It was just straight up force, and that was, and it didn't end well with some things. But
that's right.
But it's really good, and that's what I liked about it the most with the sword segment. And also what I really liked about it was it was actually spoken in Japanese. So I love that. I'm so happy they did make him have English language. It was so good that they kept true to that story.
They had subtitles for context. But again, it's true to the format. So they kept it completely traditional to the samurai. So for obviously worldwide audiences are going to respond well to that, because I think I speak for both of us that foreign language stuff is very watchable, and you don't necessarily have to hear them speaking in English to get the gist of what they're saying.
Yep.
But it helps, obviously, if the subtitles are there. But as I said, the way they did it true to the samurai style, and just the story it plays out.
I 100% agree. All right, so we come up to our final story, which is story three, which is The Bullet, which takes place in Florida, 1941. So this is
World War II.
Yes.
Mm.
So with this story is about Torres. So he is a fresh-faced recruit to the United States military during the Second World War. Attuned to machinery and a gifted mechanic, Torres finds himself in a heated dogfight with a Predator ship that relies on his wits and courage rather than physical prowess to survive.
Yeah.
And Anthony, again, what'd you think?
I loved especially when you meet the character Torres, you realize straight from the jump, this guy's witty.
Mm.
This guy's smart. He's very perceptive, and in the environment that he's in, he's been kind of pushed aside and kind of been obviously he's a gifted mechanic, but he's kind of missed the boat in terms of no one's really kind of given him the chance to prove himself.
Yes.
And because he wants to be a pilot, and he wants to do his part. And obviously, he's Mexican.
Yes.
And when you see him take to the sky in the plane during the heat of battle, and he's basically told, hey, stay in the background. This is not your fight.
Yep.
But then we meet the other Predator. This Predator.
Yep.
Wow. You talked about the weapons.
What an impetus. This is the first time that we've seen a Predator ship, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So this is something new for the whole universe of the Predator. We've never seen them fly in their own ship in battle. So that's what I really liked about this segment. Because this
And you mentioned violence.
Oh, yeah. That machinery is insane. Going through a freaking engine block like it's butter. Insane. The kills are fantastic.
Chains. I'll never look at chains again.
It's good because it introduces more to the lore of Predators. Their weaponry is so much advanced to them. Of course they are, but they're just so more advanced.
And they've had to adapt.
Exactly. And they knew, because in this story, it's more about air dogfighting in the air. So this is about the World War II planes going against a Predator ship.
That's right. Because obviously they don't realize at first what they're going up against, but they know that there's something there, and people are dropping like flies.
Yep.
And the special touch is that the commander is Bandy, he's played by Michael Biehn.
Yes.
And that was a nice touch.
It was a nice night.
That was a great thing. Yeah. Torres obviously ends up being by himself,
mm-hmm.
being spurred on by Vandy.
Yep.
And basically he tells him, go get them. You know, yeah. get them for us. You know, and like, yeah.
How about surviving?
That's right.
So
yeah.
And it's
but this leads in. Yeah, sorry.
No, go on, go.
This leads us into our final act.
Yes. So we're not going to touch too much about this final act because it's a little bit spoilery. So we're just going to do a quick over. So basically, all three of our characters are brought together to fight. And
that's right.
That's all I'm going to say for right now.
But see, you don't expect it though. No. I mean, the way that it plays out, you don't expect that you're going to see them again.
No, with going through.
But then,
going through the stories.
Yeah, go on.
You don't know how they're going to be connected. And we're going to talk more about the connection in spoilers, because I think it's a big detail if we tell right now. How they exactly come together. But the final act itself I thought was pretty good. It did add more to the lore. Like, it had different different things that were brought in. I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. And
no, that's right. But see, it also opens the world up of possibilities.
It does. And it brings up of more about the hierarchy stuff of Predators.
That's right.
Because this is canon. Like, this is officially canon. So this is placed. Mm-hmm. So we'll go. I was just about to say something spoilery, but I stopped myself. But all right, we need to talk about the spoilers, so we'll go into it.
All right.
So if you made it this far, thank you so much, guys. And thank you for everyone for your support, especially on the Facebook page. It's been amazing about how people have been just liking our things and stuff. Even sharing is the best way to help us out as well. But join the conversation.
Join
the conversation.
Tell people about us. And yeah, exactly. Because, like, again, we appreciate all support. And as you're going to find, this is a learning podcast. And we're both learning as we go. And we are looking forward to taking you along the ride with us.
Mm, absolutely. And like we said before, if you can get our podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, all the good stuff. And with the video, these will be put into YouTube more. But we'll have an audio version as well.
That's right.
So, and if you want to stick around with spoilers, stay tuned, because we're going to get into spoilers right now. All right. Spoilers for Killers of Killers. Anthony, let's get into it.
Yeah, from the jump, man. So, like I said before, the way each story played out, you don't expect that you're going to see these characters again.
No.
And so, at first, obviously, Ursa, our Viking leader, when she sacrifices herself, you know, at the end of the battle with the Predator Warlord.
Yep.
It was after they'd all managed, I mean, because obviously when you meet them all together, mm-hmm. When you see them all together, they're from different timelines, different worlds, different upbringings. So they don't know how to communicate with each other.
That's what I was going to point out to you. I was going to say, I loved how they did that, that they kept it true.
Yeah.
But because with this as well, they were put collars over their necks. So basically the Warlord Predator had them collared, so if they tried to go against the rules, so the rules are they each of them had to fight each other. So all three, so you got Kenji, Torres, and Ursa, they have to fight each other to the death to then fight the Warlord. So,
and that seemed like entertainment to the Predators.
Like a gladiatorial event.
That's right, and that was exciting.
That was cool because it's it's supposed to showcase these killers. These people are the killers, like as the title says, killers are killers. Like, you know, they were good enough to take down predators. They're good enough to take down a warlord. Yeah. That's what he thinks.
Exactly. And but I liked how it organically made the three of them bond.
Yes.
And realize that to survive, they've got to work together. Obviously, Torres is like, you know, he's not going to go down without a fight.
I thought he was scared.
Yeah, but like he realized that, you know, you can't give
There's
up.
More to it.
You can't, you know. Yeah, obviously.
Well, he got He got he got eaten by a monster, wasn't it?
Yeah,
sort of creature.
He got swallowed by the monster, and then he ended up.
They cut him out.
Fighting his way out. Yeah.
Also, with this part as well. So when they're introduced into the arena, so when they're introduced into the arena, they were giving a weapon from their timeline to use.
That's right.
So Kenji was given a sword, a samurai sword, a katana. Ursa was given a battle axe. And funnily enough, Torres was given a flintlock pistol. And I am 99% sure that pistol is from Predator 2. That was given to Lieutenant Mark Harrigan with the engraving Raphael Aladoni, 1715. So that is the pirate flintlock.
Oh, what a callback.
That's a nice little detail.
I
had to look that up because I'm like, that engraving.
I didn't even realize.
Yeah, that engraving, I seen that. I'm like, that's Predator 2. That's the flintlock pistol. So, Torres was not excited about, because this is a flintlock pistol he's never seen before. He's never used it, didn't know how to load it, so he's like, what the heck is this? But anyway.
Yeah, he's like, what am I supposed to do with it?
Exactly.
So
they're given these weapons, and they're supposed to, kill each other, but in the end, they helped each other to escape the warlord, get out of the situation.
That's right, yeah.
And when they're doing that, so they do escape. Well, as we said before, Ursa sacrifices herself because Torres hijacks a predator ship and brings Kenji, who, when they're going across, Kenji gets his arm decapitated or arm sliced off, not decapitated, that's his head, but his arm sliced off. And Ursa has, and then the predators shoot a harpoon to the ship to stop him, and then Ursa jumps out to battle them down there to let them escape, which they do.
Yeah, she calls them her boys.
Yes, so she is very motherly to these guys, and they don't know, like we said about the collars, they can only communicate with the predator. So they can't communicate with each other, which I found interesting. I thought they were going to do the whole thing of they can just translate to each other, but they didn't.
Makes you think that they're probably designed so that they couldn't go up an uprising again.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Which goes to show.
But how exciting!
Yeah, which goes to show that you don't need language; it's body language, and just normal instinct. You know what I mean? That's what I liked about it.
But I thought it was amazing though that when Torres is able to fly the ship,
yes,
for the warlord, I mean, they completely don't expect this.
No.
So, like, when Ursa sacrifices herself, which doesn't necessarily mean that it's the last we're going to see of Ursa.
No.
You never know.
Well, we're in spoilers already.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, obviously, when he flies away in the ship, we then see the warlord say, let the hunt begin. Yep. So, he's then pursued by countless ships.
I'm just like, far out.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then that was amazing. Yes. And then, like, when it opens up to this kind of like a warehouse, like a location, and there's all these people frozen.
Yes.
And
I
was blown away.
So when we get to this part where you see, because Ursa wasn't killed.
All right.
So she wasn't killed. She was then frozen because I believe they were all frozen to begin with, and then they're selected from for whatever criteria to fight each other, but then they're thawed out. So then Ursa was refrozen, and when she's being pushed along, you see monsters, different stuff from different galaxies, I'm assuming. And who do you see?
We see...
Naru. We see Naru from Prey.
From Prey.
And that excites me because that means that links things. And
I just had a thought just now. The three predators, basically, in my mind, they were all sent out to the vast reaches of time.
Yep.
To find these warriors.
Yeah.
To find, because obviously this is like their entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So these predators have basically been sent out to recruit, or in terms of capture,
the warriors best of, the best.
Of that time.
Yeah.
The best of the best to become the killer of killers. That's just...
Which is mind-blowing to me, because given off previous in like previous entries in the Predator franchise, aliens I thought were the top. Well, they are actually the top killer. They are the top killers for the Predators. I think they are the ultimate killers because they can get out of control so quick. But also in Predator 2, when Danny Glover, Lieutenant Mike Harrigan, goes on the ship, you do see other skulls of different things.
Yeah.
You got humans, alien, and some other stuff. So I'm glad they incorporated that as well.
It's a nice callback. It's definitely a nice callback to the previous, you know, films in the franchise.
But the more I think about it now, too, the movie Predators, you know, the one where the humans get put on the planet to be hunted? Were they frozen as well? And then dropped out of the sky?
Well, there's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a possibility because this can go, I mean, when I saw that, I mean, you and I, when we were both there, you know, talking about this, when I saw it, it just told me there's endless possibilities.
Oh, yeah.
And the stories, I mean, again, when I saw Naru, especially after watching Prey, I just thought, yes. Because again, the way her story ended, it was just like, when's the sequel? When are we seeing her again?
And this is a good tie-in. But it does tie in, but also it is a bit weird because at the end of Prey, as far as I remember, she was just left alone. So does that mean, like they did with Torres, they went back, found her, grabbed her, and froze her?
Well, they must have, because maybe there's like some kind of thing where the original warrior, Predator, who's gone out and faced off with Naru, didn't come back. Or maybe there's like a messaging, like, I don't know, because the way that the Predator works, there's got to be like a communication.
Yeah.
There's got to be something, like a signal.
Well,
and so, maybe they did go back and capture her.
Well, at the end of Prey, did the Predators come back to thank her, to give her a trophy like they did in AVP? Was it AVP-1? Yeah, AVP-1, yeah.
Not that I can recall
either. Because in AVP, the Predators went back, landed after they killed the Queen. And then they gave her like a, you know, says you're cool, you know, we're not going to kill you. You're worthy.
Well, what does that mean
for her? Like, well, because she didn't actually kill a Predator, I assume. She killed an alien queen. So I guess that's a bit of a leeway.
Maybe it leaves it to where, like, they realize that she could be a formidable opponent.
Yeah,
maybe they realized
she's an ally.
Unfinished with her.
She's an ally sort of thing. So she's not actually an enemy. She's just an ally to them because she helped. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
But
it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly. And so going on from this, so this is very open-ended. I'm guessing we're going to see Ursa, Naru, Torres, and Kenji again, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is supposed to, this is after Prey and before Badlands. So.
Which is going to be.
Yeah, which is going to be good too, but. What is that going to tie in? See, this is a little thing I'm confusing, because did they actually communicate to each other? I'm assuming they might have.
They might have. They must have.
I would hope so.
See, again, what's the time jump going to be, too?
That's right. But with the, let's say, Killer Killers 2, whatever they call it, is it going to be the take on the middle story, so like from Killer Killers, or is it going to take on from Badlands? Who knows?
Yeah, because obviously we're going to, like, maybe all those ships going after Torres and Kenji, maybe they're not necessarily going to kill them.
Yep.
They're going to capture them.
Yes, and kill them.
So, like, I don't kill them. They're cool. But, like, but surely that, like, I mean, obviously you can see how popular this has been.
Yes.
But, like, it definitely provides a lot of motivation for them to continue that story.
Yes.
Because people have become invested. I know I did. Oh, I know you did.
I'm loving it.
You know?
This is a whole new opportunity for Predators and the whole universe of doing more.
Exactly.
But
because I think, like, well.
But going forward, though, Killer Killer sets such a high bar of gore.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
You gore, need gore. Detail.
They can't now. Yeah. They can't now do something else with it and then make it, like, PG.
No, you can't.
Where they take the gore away. And exactly. Because I think, as you just said, it sets a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
So the demand is there. They either, you know, go ahead with the sequel, but like I said before, time jump wise.
Yes.
Is it going to be, again, before Badlands?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to be like an offshoot kind of thing, like where they're going to do, obviously, release Badlands? Are we going to see questions answered that we have from watching Killer of Killers?
Exactly.
Or we're going to see Badlands, still be scratching our heads going, why didn't they seize on that? Why didn't they jump on that? Or are they thinking, hold on, we're going to release this nugget here, we're going to release Badlands here, not answer any of those questions, and then release something else? I don't know. Yeah. But that momentum's there. They need to jump on it because people's interests can, I mean, obviously you're going to have devoted, you know, Predator fans, but I think people will be disappointed if they don't jump on that motivation that they've got, you know, because again, their response has been amazing.
Oh yeah. This has gotten high regards. I think it's at the high 83%. And stuff like that. It's high up there. This is one of the highest rating, I think, for the Predator franchise.
Very well responded to, again, as well.
Because and it's the goal.
I think it's, yeah. I think people respond well to the fact that they didn't tone it down at all.
No, because as in previous franchises, it frustrates me so much when I see a killer come down to the planets or whatever and fight people. And people like get on the good side of the Predators. I don't like that.
Yeah.
These Predators are killers.
So obviously the Predators realize, they're mindless killers. But obviously they're smart. Obviously they recognize. Yeah, they recognize traits in honor. People that, hey, this is a warrior. Honor. Yeah, an honor
exactly.
code. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that they build off what they've done with Killer Killers, because Badlands is going to be a telltale sign if they directly answer questions from Killer Killers, or if they're going to wait, sit on it. But I'm hoping that they'll see that the interest is there. People want that. They definitely want to see more of Naru, and so.
Well, is there a rumor about a Prey 2?
Yeah, I mean, I heard that, but like what you touched on, because that warehouse, you know, you got all these different frozen figures, you're from centuries, of different timelines. You got potential for all kinds of creatures, all kinds of people that are frozen in that warehouse. So maybe it sets the stage for something massive.
Yes.
Just a thought.
And I hope it gets there. All right. Well, if we're going to keep rambling on, can go on forever. guys.
How exciting, spoilers.
Yes, 100%. And if you made it this far, guys, thank you so much. And that does thank it for you. The Killer Killers review. Also, we haven't given our rating yet. What are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. So, first video popcorn bucket review, Kev.
Yes, first popcorn bucket review. I give this one a strong 9. This is a 9 out of 10 popcorn buckets for me. This is a very strong.
Very strong. You've been with us from the beginning. Our review system is popcorn buckets. And Kev's got a few there, as you can see. And we're definitely supporting popcorn bucket. Yeah, definitely. And you'll see on our Facebook posts as well that we always will share the Village of Hoyt's popcorn bucket previews that come out. And I definitely rate it the same as Kev, 9 popcorn buckets.
Awesome. All right. So that comes to the end of our review. If you made it this far, thank you so much. And as we said before, you can get all of our episodes on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, all those good stuff. And
that's right.
Until then, see you in the next one.
Yeah, please. I was just going to say,
go on. I can edit it.
Leave a like, leave a comment. I was just going to say, please, like us. Please tell us what you think about, Killer Killers, if you've seen it, what your thoughts are, if you're excited for what comes next. If you're looking forward to Badlands, tell us your favorite Predator, moment. But more importantly, thank you for supporting us. And we've definitely got more coming. And as I said before, we look forward to taking you along the journey with us. Yeah,
absolutely.
This is our first, obviously, video review, and it's been exciting. And I want to thank you, Kev, because you've helped build this something amazing. And it's only going to get better.
Thank you. Dad, it saved you, Anthony. Like, it takes two to tango, mate.
Yeah, brothers.
So, all right, guys. We'll see you in the next one.